The freshman members of the 116th Congress have begun their congressional careers right in the middle of one of the most critical, tumultuous times in American history, all playing out around them as they learn the ropes. Stateside will be checking in periodically with one of these new lawmakers, with 8th District Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, to find out what it's like being transformed into a member of Congress. She's with us now. Representative Slotkin, welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, there's no denying this is a very crucial day on Capitol Hill with Michael Cohen's public testimony. And I know you're not on the House Oversight Committee, but we're all hearing and reading what President Trump's former lawyer is saying with explosive allegations about the president. What do we do with this?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I think I haven't been able to watch much of the testimony. I've been in my own hearings. I think that I'm not sure it's actually going to change anyone's mind. I think if you're inclined to be sort of frustrated with the president, you're still frustrated with the president. And if you're inclined to believe that there's a witch hunt, then you believe it's just a continuation of a witch hunt. So I'm not sure what it's going to do with it, but it does pressurize the situation, unfortunately, for whenever Director Mueller puts out his report. So I think it just kind of adds to the stress of the moment for when that report is actually released.
And speaking of the stress of the moment, really the eye of this hurricane, and there you are on Capitol Hill, how has that been for you? What has that been like?
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the things that's sort of immediately apparent when you are a new member of Congress, especially if you're sent to Congress from a district like mine, where people just want me to get something done, they want me to work bipartisan, they want to affect the price of healthcare, prescription drugs, get an infrastructure bill. I think coming into a hyper-pressurized political environment is always tough, right? Because it makes it that much harder to work across the aisle and to actually make progress. So it's frustrating, I would say, because people are expecting me to actually improve their lives and help their pocketbooks or their kids. But, you know, I've done what I can. I almost immediately started a bipartisan freshman group, 7 Democrats, 7 Republicans, all new to Congress. So we're not too cynical yet, just to get to know each other, just to kind of know each other as human beings, so that when we have to work on these really highly political topics, we have a relationship. And that's been really important.
Late yesterday, as we all know, the House voted to repeal President Trump's emergency declaration, his bid to divert money to the wall. So the showdown between the House, between Congress and the White House, it is on. How do you see this playing out?
I mean, you know, I just believe we have to be a nation of rules and laws, and we have to follow the Constitution as established by our founders, that there are 2 co-equal branches of government. I honestly think that this will probably be worked out in the courts. I'm not sure that the vote is going to fundamentally change the calculus of things. I was happy to see a number of Republicans sign on, including 2 from Michigan to sign on along with a big group of Democrats. But I honestly think that this is going to play out in the courts and therefore is going to take a long time.
Let's turn to foreign affairs. You spent your career in the CIA. You're on the Homeland Security Committee and the Armed Services Committee. And I know you were in Munich and VP Pence was speaking there. You heard during his speech that stone silence from our allies at what were clearly meant to be applause lines.
Yeah.
What are you hearing in your conversation with our allies?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, we've gotten to the point now where a lot of our allies feel alienated and you know, taken for granted by the president. And in particular, you know, you have allies who are fighting with us in places like Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're finding out about our moves, leaving Syria, for instance. Many of our allies who are risking their soldiers' lives found out via tweet that we were leaving Syria. As you can imagine, that does not set us up for success the next time we go to those same allies and ask them to fight with us. So I think the allies are expressing a real sense of frustration, and therefore they weren't even willing to kind of politely clap during the vice president's speech. It was definitely noticeable. And, you know, I think it's why I was really, really intent on going on the bipartisan delegation. I went with led by Senator Graham because I wanted to demonstrate to our allies that just because the president treats you, in a cavalier way doesn't mean that Congress and lots of other senior leaders in Washington don't care about you and aren't seeing what you're seeing. And so I wanted to send that signal, put my money where my mouth was, and show up And we had the largest congressional delegation, bipartisan congressional delegation ever in the history of the Munich Security Conference in its 40 years.
Is there a sense that your presence and conversations that you had with folks from other countries, from our allies, can that repair the frayed and damaged relationships that our country is having?
Well, I think it helps, right? They hear multiple voices. And I think that most of these countries, certainly their senior leaders, they're used to having a strong American leadership role in the world. They want that. Again, we're not perfect, and it's right to question some of the moves we've made in the past couple of decades. But I think a lot of them see us as an indispensable leader on things like arms control, or when it comes to the role in NATO, when it comes to fighting back terrorists. And I think that there is always the potential for new senior leaders to come in and to sort of express a different view. So I don't think it's irreparably damaged, but I think in the meantime, we have to do everything we can from Congress to send a strong signal that the American handshake means something and that we care about our allies participating with us to counter global threats.
Representative Slatkin, what are you hearing from the people of the 8th District, your constituents, about the foreign affairs, about our relationship with our allies? Is this on people's radar screens, or are they more focusing on challenges right here at home?
So they're focused on challenges at home, but it's interesting. I just was meeting this past weekend with a bunch of senior officials from Livingston County, both at the township level, mayors, city managers. And one of the conversations that kept coming up was the concern about cyber threats, right? Little townships who have been the victim of phishing attempts, you know, this where they lost their data at the township level because of an attack. We've had communities in our district who have been the victim of ransomware attacks, where they've actually paid the ransom in order to get the data back, a lot of it being personal data. So it's amazing how even in small places, you know, where they have less than 1,200 citizens, their little township leadership is worried about what are very global threats, like cyber threats. So I do think that there's a real nexus with what people are worried about. And I think that people understand that the American handshake has to mean something. They want to believe and know that our leaders are being respected wherever we go. And I don't think anyone likes when the Vice President of the United States goes to an international conference and doesn't get the applause, right? That doesn't feel good to anybody.
The GOP has put a target on your back. You're on the list of 55 Democrats they've targeted for 2020 because, as we all know, you flipped your district last November. How do you advance your agenda, your ideas, knowing the GOP is going to pounce hard next year? What does that calculus look like?
Yeah, well, they fought hard last time. And listen, you just can't run your life based in fear. I'm not going to do that. You have to focus on what people need and helping people's pocketbooks and their kids. It's what I said during my campaign last time, and it's what I still really believe. And if you do those things, then I don't think it matters how many negative ads they throw at you. People know that you're trying to fight for them. And, you know, people say to me, like, you sound like a normal person, you talk like a normal person, and you show up at our stuff. People aren't asking you to solve every one of their problems. They're asking you to care about their lives and what happens to them and their kids, and to fight for them. And that's something I know how to do. So it, you know, I know the other side is going to fight, but all I can do is do the right thing for my district and hope that people see that and respect that.
And to that point, you've made a real push toward on-the-ground services to your constituents. What are you doing that's different?
Yeah, so I think most people have no idea what their member of Congress actually does for them and can do for them. I certainly didn't know. Before I ran for Congress, I had never reached out to my member of Congress. I had never sort of known what they can do for me. Most people know what a mayor can do or what the president can do, but the member of Congress is kind of a funny in-between position. So the number one thing we have to do is tell people how we can help. So we have offices in Lansing. We'll have another office in Rochester. We have a Livingston County representative, and the things that we can help with are, first and foremost, constituent services on things like Social Security benefits, VA benefits, immigration issues. We handle a ton of immigration issues, where sometimes just someone who knows the system really well can help free up, you know, some stuck benefits, and sometimes a letter from a member of Congress can help unstick things that haven't been fixed in the past. So there's a lot of constituent services. And then there's just talking to issue groups, making sure we know what's going on and what's of greatest concern in the district so that I can react to that and vote accordingly back in Washington. The other thing that we're doing is setting up district advisory boards. So, for instance, on prescription drugs, you know, if I'm going to be voting on a piece of legislation that's meant to lower the cost of prescription drugs, I should have people who deal with that issue every day from the district advising me and telling me what they think about the legislation. So we're setting up these district advisory boards to be kind of my issue experts to make sure I'm not missing something and how a law might affect people on the ground specifically. And then just showing up at lots of events, at lots of community meetings, making sure we're present so that people can communicate their concerns directly to us and they don't have to wait.
Well, I know you have to go take a vote, so we're going to let you go.
Thank you.
Democratic Representative Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan's 8th Congressional District. Thank you so much.
Thanks as always.